If you would remain standing in honor of the reading of God's word and open a Bible, if you have one, to Luke chapter 2. And at this time, the children from kindergarten through sixth grade would be dismissed for children's church. Thanks to Dan and to Michelle for leading us in worship this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20 is where we will be looking. Luke records this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is God's word for us this morning. Thanks for remaining standing. You may be seated. So next Sunday, starting a four-week series on the, actually 6 weeks, but 4 weeks on the fourfold gospel, as 40 days of prayer will begin. We're getting an email on how to get those devotionals to sign up for those as they come into your email inbox. It starts the first Sunday of January, but we'll be looking over the next 4 weeks specifically at the fourfold gospel, alliance distinctives as Christ our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. And that will be an opportunity, if you are interested, and encourage you to strongly consider becoming a member of the church. And that those four sermons are core to what we believe here at Dorseyville and in the CMA, but core to the gospel. And it'll be opportunity for you that can count as a membership class. And so through that process, you'll be able to follow along with where we stand as a church, what we believe, anchor yourselves in discipleship in that. And if you're interested in becoming a member, that would be offered to you at the conclusion of that time. But we've been in this series through Advent on wonder and having a fresh encounter with the wonder of Christ coming here at Christmas. We've looked at three different stories through characters in the book of Luke of the Christmas story. We looked first at Zechariah. We looked at his unbelief, but how God welcomed him into that process of having his unbelief redeemed. And that his unbelief was redeemed as he repented through obedience, following what the angel Gabriel had told him in naming his son John. We looked then secondly at Zechariah's wife Elizabeth and about how her shame was removed and was brought into favor as God did it, and how God is still in the business of removing our shame so that we are not defined by those things that we would say, something is wrong with me, but that we would see ourselves in light of who Jesus has made us to be in him. And last week, we had a whopping 23 people here because the snow was just a very hard thing, the weather. And so I know a number watched online, and we are grateful for that opportunity. But last week, we looked at Mary, and we looked at the idea of consecration. That is, Mary heard from the angel Gabriel that she would be with child, that she would have Jesus by the Holy Spirit, that her response was, "I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said." And this idea of consecration is giving our lives to God to say, "I am your servant for your purposes, may they be so." And so today we come to the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we want to look at this idea of seen and heard, looking at the story of the shepherds. So when I say this question, did you see that? Or this question, did you hear that? What comes to your mind? Did you see that? Did you hear that? What comes to your mind? There's a number of things that come to my mind. One was as a college student, after going down to the borough of Brooklyn in New York City to do ministry on Friday night, we would come back and we would have pizza at a local pizzeria. And one of the members of our group had decided after she got her pizza that she was going to sit and eat it outside. And as we were eating inside and she was outside, all of a sudden we heard this bang. And I had looked up just to see this flash going by and her sitting right in front of the window in shock because a drunk driver had sped around a corner, lost control, and slammed into the building, narrowly missing her. It was one of those moments where everyone inside either said, "Did you hear that?" or those who were looking out the window at the time saying, "Did you just see that?" Everyone was talking about it. Or when I think of, "Did you see that?" I think of our new puppy, Royce, and all the things that he does. All of a sudden, "Did you see what he just did? Jumping up on top of the couch, running, doing this, doing that." Excitement. I think of a toddler who rolls over for the first time and the parents are there, "Did you see that?" Or as they take their first steps, "Did you see that?" Or as they say their first word, "Dada" or "Mama, did you hear that?" Or I think of sitting at Cincinnati Reds baseball game this summer, and after a torrential downpour and thunderstorm coming through and the game starting, and lightning still in the distance, lighting up the night sky with bolts of lightning over and over and over, and trying to watch the game, but looking out as your eyes are just mesmerized by the lightning shooting through the sky. Did you see that? Maybe it's the latest movie or TV show, or the song that you heard, or the piece of art that you saw. Did you see that? Did you hear that? The shepherds in Luke chapter 2, on that night that Jesus was born, had quite a "did you see that? Did you hear that?" moment, didn't they? But their experience and their response to that experience are instructive to us in what we must do as we both see and hear of the wonder of Jesus' birth. This morning, their sermon notes, as always, in your bulletin, fill-ins will be on the screen. But this morning, we want to look at three progressions this morning as we look at this idea of seen and heard. The first progression is this. It begins with seeing and hearing the good news. See and hear the good news. In verses 8 and 9, once again, there were shepherds that were living out in the fields nearby, and they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. And all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were terrified. These shepherds, following the birth of Jesus at night, he is born in the manger, and there the scene shifts to a field outside of the town of Bethlehem somewhere to a group of shepherds. And if you know anything about shepherds, shepherds were the lowliest of the low. They were the outcasts of society because of the fact that they were caring for animals. They were not even able, without a lot of steps for purification in the temple, they were not even able to go in and worship at the temple. They were out, away from everyone, looked down upon, the social, economic status outcasts of society. Even so much that, depending on your translation, the NIV says living out in the fields. Some say abiding, some say staying. It seems very much that these shepherds did not even have a home, that they were not going out to work at night to watch their fields, their shepherds and their sheep in the fields. They were actually living with the animals that they cared for. They were these nomadic people that were there with no place to say, "This is my home. And yet it's to these people in the nighttime that the most incredible, wonderful thing comes to them. An angel of the Lord appears to them. And God's glory just radiates all around them. And understandably, they are terrified. It's what they see. They see wonder with their eyes. But they also hear wonder with their ears. Verses 10 through 14, that angel says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that's going to be for all people, starting with you, shepherds, starting with the ones that you would not think it would be. You would think it would be the important, the popular, the powerful that would get this good news, but it's the lowly, it's the despised, it's the outcast. Good news for all people that will bring great joy. Because today in David's town, today in the town of Bethlehem, there is a Savior that has been born. The promised one that will rule and reign on David's throne, that will save his people from their sins, that will set all things right, the one who will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who will bring rulers down, Herod the king, Caesar Augustus, and even all the power of Rome to its knees. Jesus, the Christ, has been born. Good news of great joy for all the people. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appears with that one angel, and they begin to sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests." Throughout the series, we've seen this word favor show up. For Elizabeth, she moved from shame to favor. As Mary encounters and is encountered by Gabriel, she is like, "How is it that this favor, the favor of the Lord is on me?" And as Elizabeth is visited by Mary and John leaps in her womb, "Wow, why is the favor of the Lord upon me?" We see this idea of favor, and here for the shepherds and for all people, the favor of God has come. This is one of the beautiful themes of Christmas, that God is for us. He wants relationship with us. He has done the extreme work of sending his son into this earth, born of a virgin, born to the lowliest place in a manger of all places to become one of us, God in the flesh, so that he might live and show us what the Father is like, and so that he might live to bring the kingdom of God here to this earth, and so that he might live to ultimately go to a cross where, though sinless, he would be nailed, and the sin of the world, my sin and your sin, would be laid on him, so that the wrath of God, the punishment of God, the justice of God would be satisfied, so that we would be saved. God is for us. He wants relationship with us, and he has sent his son to show that he is here for us. As Kim lit those candles this morning, and that idea of the love of God, he loves you with an everlasting love, and this is good news. What an incredible, incredible experience for those shepherds to both see and hear the good news. And in the same way, we see and we hear the good news. Now, you may say, how do I see the good news? And after all, the scriptures talk about how faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's evidence of things hoped for, the certainty of things not seen. I thought faith was something that I couldn't see with my eyes. After Jesus had died and was resurrected, he appear to his disciples over a number of different experiences, and one was not there. One was Thomas. And if you know Thomas, what always goes in front of Thomas? Doubting Thomas. Because he said, unless I see his nail prints in his hands, unless I touch his side, I'm not going to believe that he's alive. And Jesus shows up once again, and he comes to Thomas and he says, here, touch my nail prints. Put your finger in my side. And Thomas responds with, my Lord and my God. He saw with his eyes and he believed. But Jesus says this. He said, you believe because you have seen, but blessed are those who believe and do not see. So why in the world are we talking about seeing the good news? We thought this was supposed to be by faith, not by sight. The scriptures are also full of this idea of seeing in a spiritual vision kind of way. As we walk through the book of 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glory of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul prays for the Ephesians that the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened, that they might see all that God has called them for, all that God has called them to. And in the Old Testament, Psalm 119:11, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, that we might see. Our eyes, not so much in a physical way that the shepherds see the good news, but our eyes spiritually. It's a spiritual vision, a vision of our heart where our eyes are opened that we might see the beauty and the wonder of the gospel. That when we turn to Christ, a veil is removed and we see the wonder of who he is. Just as the shepherds saw the glory of God on that first night, as the angels were before them declaring the good news. And so we see the good news, but we also hear the good news. But it's more than just this physical way that you're hearing my voice now, because scriptures talk about it could be ever seeing and ever hearing, but never really getting it, never really perceiving it. It's a not just physical hearing, it is a spiritual hearing of the good news where the Spirit of God comes and he gives us revelation. That those who have ears to hear, as Revelation says, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. See, it's a different way of seeing. It's a different way of hearing. It is spiritual. Our brother Bob has been going through a process. He had a cochlear implant implanted several weeks ago. And it's been a whole process of learning and adjusting. But one of the things that I've learned about this as Bob has gone through this journey is that it's a whole new way to be able to hear sound. That cochlear implant brings sound in a different way. And so he has to learn what these sounds that he's always heard, what they mean, because they're not received by his brain in the same way. It's a whole new process of hearing. It's a different way of hearing. So as Bob's on the prayer list, continue to pray for Bob in that whole process. But it's kind of like that when it comes to these physical things. Bob's having to learn a whole new way to hear. He has ears to hear, but it's a new way. And friends, spiritually, as we come to the Lord, as we hear the good news, as we see the good news, it's not about our physical eyes so much. And it's not about our physical ears so much. It is about seeing and hearing the good news and asking, God, would you open my eyes that I might see the glory of Christ? Would you open my ears that I might hear from the Spirit of God so that I might know deeper and deeper the wonder of this good news? Seeing and hearing the good news is going to impact us. My prayer as we gather on a Sunday morning is that you would come away saying, did you hear that? Did you see that? not because of anything that I've said or not because of anything that the worship team has done in the way that they're singing, not because of any video that might be shown, not because of anything that we have, but because you come away and go, God was there. Did you see that? Did you hear that? The shepherds heard it with their physical eyes and their physical ears. May we have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to hear and to see what God is doing. The second progression moves to this, to respond to what you've seen and heard. To respond to what you've seen and heard. And that blank should be under respond there, to respond what you've seen and heard. In verses 15 and 16, it says this, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. You know, it's easy just to read this and go, okay, they took off and went. But you ever let your imagination go for a moment? What was it like for the shepherds? Having seen this angel and the glory of the Lord, and then the whole company of the heavenly host praising God, glorifying him. What do you think they were like when the angels left? I would guess it was very possible that they just sat there for a moment. It may have been more than a moment. It could have very well been one of those stunned silence moments where it feels like you have been sitting there for days. Just what in the world just happened? What did we just see? What did we just hear? I wonder which of them was the first one to say, let's go see this thing. Because I don't know about you, but I've been in some environments where something cool just happened. And it's a little bit out of the realm of normal. And you really don't want to be the person that says, did you just see that? Did you just hear that? Because you're wondering, did I just imagine that? Did I just miss something that was actually going on? You can imagine this. There had to be a brave one in there. I said, did you guys just see that? Or was I just dreaming and dozed off and imagined all of that? Somebody had to be brave to be able to say, did you just see, did you just hear? And it's quite possible that they were so amazed by what they had just seen that they jumped to their feet. But one way or another, they eventually say to one another, we need to go. We need to respond to what we have seen and heard. We need to go because the angel said, this will be a sign unto you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. There was an invitation to the shepherds. It's not just a declaration of good news. There was an invitation. Go see it. Responding is the crucial point. See, once you see and once you hear the good news, and responding in faith is a whole different thing from just saying, boy, that was pretty cool. That was pretty neat. Responding in faith is what takes a cool experience to actual life change. Faith will always involve an action. Hear that. Faith will always involve an action. Sometimes it will be as simple as responding to God in prayer. God, I thank you for what you have shown me. God, I thank you as I've read your word this morning and as you've revealed this truth to me. Thank you for that encouragement this morning. Thank you for showing me a little bit more of who you are. Sometimes it may require that you actually get up and move and do something. Like those shepherds, they got up and they went into Bethlehem to do something. It may require you to take a step of faith, to walk across the street, to talk to someone, to tell them a word of encouragement. It may require, as the shepherds, this change of priority, this change of their time, of their resources, of leaving potentially the sheep behind to be able to go and see, and it may even send you as some in our family, church family, are about to experience in the next months, it may send you to a whole different part of the world. Sometimes it's a big step. Sometimes it's a medium step. Sometimes it's a huge step. But faith will always require an action. Response is the key. Respond to what you have seen. Respond to what you have heard. And the one who gives you spiritual eyes to see, the one who gives you spiritual ears to hear, will also give you direction on what that step of action will be. So see and hear the good news, then respond to what you have seen and heard. And lastly, the third progression is this: go and tell what you've seen and heard. Go and tell what you've seen and heard. Verses 17 to 20, again, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. See, the shepherds don't just keep it to themselves. They saw and they heard. They responded to what they saw and heard, but then they went and they told others about what they had seen and heard. They spread the word about Jesus, and the result was amazement for all who heard. And in their lives, they were brought to praise. They were brought to glorifying God because the thing that they had been told and the thing that they had responded to was just as they had been told it would be. As we consider this idea of going and telling what you have seen and heard, three quick points I want you to consider. The first, when you see and hear the good news and you have these, did you see that? Did you hear these moment or hear that moment? And as you are led to go and tell others, we can think about going as some strategic plan that we need to have to go from here to there to go talk to this one person. And sometimes God will put a person on your heart and he will lead you and give you a plan to be able to go and to tell someone in particular. God works like that sometimes. But these shepherds didn't have, oh, we got to go tell this person, we got to go tell this person, we got to go tell this person. They were just on their way back. And as they were going back to the fields where they lived with their sheep, they said, you got to hear this. You got to see this. You got to. As they were going, they told people. We hold very much in our church about the Great Commission. Jesus said to make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. I'm going to surely be with you to the very end of the age. But at the beginning, he says, go. And in our English translations, it just says, go and make disciples of me, other followers of me. But the best way that the disciples would have understood it, what Jesus was saying was this: as you are going, make disciples. In other words, as you're going to your family gathering for Christmas, tell others about what you've seen and heard about Jesus. As you're going to work here in these days leading up to Christmas, tell others what you have seen and heard. As you're going to school in the last couple days before Christmas, tell others what you've seen and heard about Jesus. As you're running around like a crazy person trying to get all the food ready from the store and the last minute Christmas gifts, and you're bumping into people along the way, as you are going, tell people what you've seen and heard. See, sometimes we think of telling others about Christ as this thing that I have to plan this thing out. And there's a lot of value to planning it out. But a lot of it is just as you are living your life, as you are interacting with your neighbors, as you are interacting with your friends, as you are interacting with your families, as you are going about what you are doing, tell others what you have seen and heard. Second thing I would want to share, as you are going, tell. I believe that this tell is a progressive thing that we learn about more and more. I believe that the more time we spend with Jesus, it gets fuller, it gets better, this good news that we have to share. You see, those shepherds had a lot to tell as that angel showed up. There was a lot of good news to share. But it got even better, and it got even fuller when the great company of the heavenly host showed up. Oh, there's more to this. Peace on men on earth, on whom his favor rests. And it got even better, and there was more to tell as they went, and as they saw Mary and Joseph and Jesus lying in the manger. Each of those pieces on their own, that would have been a great thing to tell what they have seen and heard. But every time they took a step, every time they encountered a little bit more of what God had for them, their experience of what they got to tell got deeper and fuller and better. You may be new in your faith journey. You may be working through what Zechariah was working through, unbelief. You may be trying to figure out, is this all true? There may be parts of this and you're like, yeah, I could tell somebody about that. I'm still trying to figure out the rest of it. You may be a newer believer and you know the basics of faith. You can go and tell people about that. You may be one who has walked with Jesus for a long time, and as you are walking with him, you're getting to know him more and more and more. You're going to have more and more and more to talk about until the day that either Jesus returns or we go to meet him passing from this life to the next. There is the opportunity that you will know him more. And the more you know him, the more you encounter him, the more you learn about him and his word, the more he speaks to you through times of prayer and the leading of his spirit, the more you will have to tell. As you are going, tell this message wider and wider, deeper and deeper. And lastly, the third thing I would say is this. Sometimes the things that we receive from the Lord, we ponder. And it's not for this moment to share. Mary treasured all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. She thought about them. She hid them deep within her heart. See, when you ponder something, you're still thinking it through. You're still trying to understand what this all means. Sometimes you may leave this worship time and there'll be something that the Lord impressed upon you and you just can't wait to tell somebody about it. And the first person you see, oh man, they're going to get it, and that's good. Other times you're going to get something from the Lord and you're like, I'm not sure I'm fully understanding what this is all about yet, and God is in the process of starting something new in your life, and it's not something that you can just give away right away. It may be tomorrow. It may be in a week. It may be in a decade that you have an opportunity to look back and say, God's been doing something in my life over the last decade. And as you're going about your life, you bump into someone and your conversation leads and you're like, you know what? I got something that I've never told you, and it's starting. The Lord is bringing it together, and it's your opportunity to tell that. Friends, sometimes we may feel this pressure that I got to tell everything to everyone at every moment. But if the God who reveals to us in our spiritual ears, in our spiritual eyes, and speaks to us, he's also the one who will tell us what to say when we need to say it. The most important thing is that we are ready, and that we are looking, and that we are available to go and to tell all that we have seen and heard about Jesus, the one who has come.